Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
How we go from being in tune with the women's body to I'm UPS man?
It don't take long on this show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is what
boy,
it
y'all
is.
Switch gears, bro. Boy, y'all switch gears over here real quick.
Hey, T.O., oh, a lot of times, we be like, damn, we need to keep rolling and go to a whole
nother. Oh, man.
That's a whole.
Y'all need to change this show to switching gears. Are y'all need to have a segment called Switching Gears?
It's quick.
You got to keep up over here.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat. You know, despite the skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wicked wheel straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Friend, what you said? December. You said Christmas. No, Ocho. You said Christmas.
No,
why don't we just do it New Year's?
First of all, Chad is scared to run.
Scared of
that's
what?
That's a fact.
Yeah.
I'm scared of what?
That's a fact.
There's nothing you can beat
that's
me doing,
fact.
Yo.
That's a fact.
There's nothing you can beat
that's
me doing.
Fact. That's a you hear me?
I believe it. He's scared. I seen when you ran against Cheetah, he's sitting on the sideline.
Oh, he know what time
being
is.
All cute.
Oh, yeah.
You should have ran.
He was actually training.
He's not.
Hey, listen.
It's hard for him to be cute. He wasn't being cute.
Listen.
It's fact.
Come on, Tracy Chapman.
Come
stop
on,
playing that.
Boy, you
listen,
a possum.
There's nothing you could beat me doing, yo. I don't care what the members say. You're not better than me.
Stop the chit chatter.
You ain't better than me.
I ain't with all that.
I'm just letting you know.
First of all, I'm never going to out-talk you.
You
want to get simple.
You got damn right. You couldn't outplay me either.
You want to get simple and line it up, bro. You cannot beat me. You know that.
There's nothing you do better.
And I'm 46.
There's nothing you do better. I'm 52.
What you banking on is that bike. You think that bike got you in shape?
No, I murk both of y'all.
And what?
And I ain't running.
And
whatever
what?
They want to do. The ooh. 60 and all that. And I ain't train. I ain't done no training. I told T.O. that.
Fred, you going to gun him.
You want to put in your replacement?
Fred chase rabbits.
So, all right.
Rap.
No, I appreciate you coming in. But real talk. Basically, the Rooney rule is broken. And what Troy Vincent is trying to do, and this is one of many things, he's trying to build a culture, right? Like, and lead the way, not only in sports, but in all industries when we talk about diversity and inclusion. So the Rooney Rule is broken. We knew that. What they're introducing now is basically an incentive for owners to develop talent within this archaic thinking that if my minority men and women go off to another company, if I recommend them and I lose them, now I don't have them. So they're trying to incentivize our NFL teams to say, develop minorities, starting at the grassroots level, develop them. And if they go off to be a general manager, a head coach, a coordinator, then we're going to give you a third round pick, compensatory pick, which is basically at the end of the third round, you can pick. That's what that is. So, I mean, what's y'all thoughts on this whole Rooney Rule thing? What is your thoughts on, you know, the NFL, Troy Vincent, doing this right now in 2020?
The fact that they have to incentivize owners to even do this
in 2020
tells you all you need to know.
Like, why can't we get jobs
if you
based
do this,
on our knowledge,
and
our
have
merit,
black coaches through a pipeline and, like, what the
of
fuck?
Of coaching. Period.
What does that tell you? It says everything you need to know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, they're still trying to give us something.
Hey, well, if you do this, we'll give you that.
But you know what? I think it's going to work because of the fact that they get a third round pick, and it's something that they can gain because the Rooney Rule is nothing.
So who's gaining?
The team's gaining, T.O., because of the
who's
fact.
Who's gaining?
The team is gaining a third round pick. So they're gaining draft equity. The Rooney Rule just makes me talk to a black man and then I can go hire whatever dude
day,
I want.
Who's
you're
still,
gaining.
Who's still gaining?
The team. So
the
you
owners.
Have, but you have to give the team. And I'm, bro,
the
and I'm, I am
gaining.
With y'all. That is crazy that you have to incentivize this, but for them to have to do a Rooney Rule that is broken, and for them to have to now give a team a third round pick to the nepotism of Bill Belichick, his son is now going to be a coach. His son is now going to take over.
That's still furthering the dialogue that you still are not good enough. But now you have to be incentivized.
Yes,
but at least the chance is there. But
why it got to be at least?
Because that's what the world is, bro. That's what it is.
But that's the problem.
And what?
Well,
what's a better resolution then?
If they don't want you,
I'm not
why
really
are you
that dialed in.
Here's just like the Rooney Rule. They make you talk to a black man.
If they don't want you, if they don't want you in, or they don't want you in that position of power, why are you forcing it? Or why are we
exactly
forcing it?
To make them give a black man a chance
if
to see
don't
to see
want
how
you there. What is that telling you?
It's a good old boys club. Everybody,
I get
knows
it. Here's the solution for me. The solution is I love what Troy Vincent is doing. I think it helps. Obviously, we're in 2020. I think the first time I heard about it, I'm like, this is sad. We're in 2020, racial tension is soaring, and we still got to do this stuff, right? But the reality is we hire people that we're comfortable with, and that's what happens in the NFL. If it doesn't look like me, if they don't look like me, they don't talk like me, they don't walk like me, I don't understand it. So I don't think a lot of – there may be some racism, but I think majority of it is – I just don't understand you, Channing. You got dreads. I don't understand it. I don't understand your way of living. I don't understand how you lead. I don't understand how you talk. Like, we come from different places. The league is made up of 70% minority players.
70 plus. Yeah.
So for me, the problem is they're hiring people that they feel comfortable with. And it's the same conversation we've been having all in 2020. So for me, I feel like the right solution, the best solution, is actually starting with the owners.
And this is not just with the league, fellas. Think about it. What's affirmative action? Like, people be mad that you got hired because you're black. You got hired because you're Spanish. You got hired because this. Because you have to make them. To your point, Chad, I'm with you. You have to make them give a brown or black person a chance and see what they have. And so that's why I'm with it. Is it wrong that we have to do it in the year 2020? Yes. But you have to make them give you a chance, and then you can get that billionaire owner to say, this black dude knows what he's doing. Well, he would not say that if you did not have the chance. Is it sad? Yes. But is it true? Yes.
I just don't get it. As a coach, as a guy who wants to move up that ladder, what's your mindset? Do you not want to take advantage of the opportunity? Do you look at it as a handout, or do you look at it as an opportunity?
It sounds like you're saying it's a handout.
Basically, it is. Oh, goddamn. Okay, here you go. Here, man. Goddamn, here. You want to coach here?
Yeah.
That's basically all it is.
I believe that, one, I would gladly welcome the opportunity to be interviewed. You know, because bottom line is, I just want to get in the door. All that other shit, you got to believe in your ability and what you bring to the table, regardless of how, you know, they window dress it, you know, whatever that might be. It's not a terrible thing, but we understand from the big picture outside looking in, we're saying, damn, is it that bad? You know, this is what we got to go through still to this day. But one, just to have the opportunity, because normally 10 years ago, 15, they wouldn't give us the opportunity. Now they're putting you in a class where they say, regardless of how it looks, right? You have an opportunity. You get in there and you interview. You let them know, look, like anything else, a blind date. You got on a fucking date and all of a sudden, damn, she got character or he got character.
You got a chance.
You got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get an opportunity,
Let me tell you this quick. Do y'all know that Mike Tomlin was supposed to interview to be the Dolphins head coach?
Yeah, I heard this.
Before the Steelers? And this is a quote. They said, he's too hip-hop. That was the phrase, he's too hip-hop. And now Mike Tomlin got a motherfucking 9-0 team right now.
And it's
playing.
He's been there for 14 years.
And been the Dolphins.
Winning season every year.
But the Dolphins picked Joe Philbin and Adam Gase, and this man went up to Pittsburgh and has been having winning seasons ever since. But Pittsburgh gave him that opportunity. Whatever gives you, Chad, whatever gives you that opportunity to get in the door, like Fred's talking about, let me get on the blind date so they can see who I am, they can see what I can do, and they can see my attributes, and I might be able to climb this ladder that's missing every motherfucking third step because they don't want me to get up there.
The Dolphins always had problems.
It's a better situation that he didn't go to the Dolphins either because his leash would have been much shorter there.
Correct.
And they believe in, like, chemistry and continuity. That's why they're one of the greatest organizations in all of sports.
But I believe in opportunity. I mean, granted, the way his window dressed, you know, it looks, you know, to us who've been involved in the game, we look at it and say, damn, we got some talented guys, you know, on those different levels. You know, the coaches, you see assistant coaches, DBs coming in. Hell, I look at, you know, Darius Butler, for example, on his Instagram.
That's right.
He can definitely go and be a coach if he wants to go that route.
So we have a lot of talent in the pool. Eric Bieniemy.
Yep.
Bieniemy.
Yep.
It's a gang of talent.
AC, Bieniemy, dog. But
even you can go to some of the coaches that got an opportunity already and it didn't work out, and they didn't get that second opportunity. Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles. There's some coaches out there that we can...
Arizona, Steve Wilkes.
Well...
He was terrible. Yeah, okay. He had an opportunity.
See, but that's different.
Yeah. No.
You can't put them in the hat.
They don't belong in there.
You had to deal with.
They don't belong in there.
But it was after 1 year. Let me say, let me line them up. Adam Gase got a second chance.
That's right.
And he was terrible with the Dolphins.
You ain't lying.
He was terrible. Well, and the Jets are terrible.
I don't
right
agree
now
with that. I think that first year, what he did with the Dolphins, how he turned them around. That last year he imploded. But bro, they was playing good ball that first time.
Right, because that was an inherited team.
I know.
That was an inherited team. And now you got a year. Well, now you got to develop your players.
But T, here's the question though. Okay, we're talking about Steve Wilks. You got Coach McCarthy in Dallas. That's the same situation, right?
Well, that's a different leash because all the players are hurt. Offensive line is hurt. Dak is out. You get another opportunity a following year because of the injury bug.
Yeah.
A horrible injury bug, especially for the Cowboys. That's ridiculous for that many people that you rely on offensively to go down.
Yep.
That's too many. You're on your third string?
Third string.
Third or fourth string.
San Francisco about in that same boat.
What we got here, Chef Nancy?
We have a Thanksgiving-inspired meal today. Mm. But, of course, you have fish because you are a pescatarian.
Oh, I have fish.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome.
All right, because, I know T.O. has his own request, and you take care of him, and he's a guest, and you don't even take care of
me. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of the guest
first. That's right. That's Southern hospitality. You're right.
Everyone else has...
Y'all got any grown man meals?
This is a whole
grown man meal.
What is this?
Yep, I got a grown man meal.
A pescatarian.
Hold on. What is this stuff?
Boston Market.
This is a Cornishan stuffed with cranberry stuffing.
We're actually talking about Thanksgiving now because we want our fans, our family, to actually have the time to go out and play around with your ingredients, to play around with your recipes. So Thanksgiving's coming up, but we're talking about it a week too early for most. So tell us about what we have here and the inspiration.
And yeah, what can people eat that are, I guess, unrestricted or nutritional? I don't like to say diets, but plans.
What kind of diet are you on?
And then I just like to eat relatively healthy. So I don't really consider myself on a plan.
So you can do all veggies and fish. Do you eat, what other proteins do you eat?
Fish, chicken, turkey.
So you can eat turkey and veggies. Just do veggies on the side and basically no carbs.
Yeah. But Thanksgiving is one of those days
I have the perfect version of, instead of mashed potatoes, you could do mashed parsnips. And it's really, really good. The collard greens are vegan, but there's no meat in them. But they'll taste like it.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I want to try some.
You want to try? Okay, so
I'm
going
to try the
bourbon. I put another chef friend of mine. I used some of his bourbon. It's called Bull Young Bourbon.
Wait, bourbon? Is alcohol in here?
Just cooked down.
It's simmered.
She wouldn't have told you. You wouldn't have never known.
So, chef, all right, question for you right now.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about Thanksgiving early. A lot has happened in 2020.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see the silver lining in a lot of this. You know, what are you grateful for? What can we all be grateful for? What kind of message do you have for us?
Well, I'm grateful for everything, the highs and the lows, because that's what it brings me to where I'm at today. So I'm grateful for everything. Of course, friends, family, and all that I have. But I feel like as a collective that... everyone should just look for the on the bright side. And I know it's like a cliche and corny, but I mean, we just went through an election.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are divided. But I think that if we all come together collectively, we would be get further, much further than we are than being divided.
Yeah. Well, I know that I was supposed to ask you one question, but I got another question for you. It seems like it's like almost 50-50.
55-50.
55.
The most you can do.
Demographic, Chef, we got
55-50.
55-50. 55% women, 50%.
I'm about to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
55-50.
That boy said 55-50.
It's the more you can do.
Yeah.
55% women, 50% men. What word would you give to our women that's following the show? Because they get the male's perspective a lot. Anything, any message.
Keep your standards high. Don't settle. Mm. Keep your standards high.
Amen.
Set boundaries.
Don't settle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You want to elaborate?
Well, I just feel like at my age, these are things that I didn't do. And I had to learn. And now that I've learned, that it's definitely something that we need to do. You have to treat people how... Teach people how to treat you.
Mm.
And once you do that, you'll be fine.
Mm. All right. Well, appreciate you, Chef.
Thank you.
Can I get something?
Yeah, this is how we do the guests. This is how we do the guests.
Hey, man. Hey, y'all, everybody watch. Well, they had you starving on this set. Man. This is how they
well,
treat that guest.
You Mr. Healthy.
Hey, this is how they treat that guest. You know what I mean? Everybody eating it. I ain't even eating.
We keeping your calories down, bro. We keeping your
get
calories
on my, I'm about to get on my delivery app. You know what I'm in the DoorDash. Get some food up in here.
I wanted to say something. You asked Chef Nancy about just the election stuff, bro. Have with political stuff or teammates. Has the politics and teammates ever got, have y'all ever been long careers? Everybody had long careers. Has politics with teammates ever made a wedge or built a wall between locker rooms, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is? Have y'all ever felt that in the locker room?
Well,
not.
Yeah, we ain't talk about politics. Yeah. Then I think now for a lot of us, we're having these conversations publicly. You know, because, you know, when you talk politics, it's a lot of times it's like, oh, don't give your opinion, you know, keep that to yourself. But right. It seems like we were all forced to be in this conversation. And I think that there's a lot of relationships being broken because of politics right now. Like, there's a lot of people right now, as you know, saying, well, if you believe this, then that means you are this type of person. And I'm taking that personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think to a degree, if you support Trump, then yeah, I'm gonna look at you sideways from here on out.
Yeah,
and that's what
real.
It is.
No, but, I'm being real.
But much like what they say about you know, you're an athlete.
No, because
just shut up and play ball or shut up and dribble.
Right.
You don't know nothing about politics. Look, I pay my fucking taxes. I'm political. that gives me a right.
Right.
Yes. You know, I'm automatically in the conversation.
Right, because I feel like
so I got some type of say.
If you
know what I'm saying? So my opinion is my opinion. Right. We don't have to agree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we're going to go on about our daily life. I got a gang of friends that are Republican. Got black friends that are Republican. You know, their mindset is different than mine because I come from nothing. And I mentioned this, that I don't mind giving back. I think democracy is a system where we all got to put into the system in order for it to operate. We got budgets and we got deficits.
Everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you pay for stuff? You know what I'm saying? If you don't have a system of taxation, whether it's from the people or corporate, you know, on the local level, whatever it might be, taxes got to be paid. Everybody ran this whole thing about Joe Biden and what he's going to increase the taxes. But when you look at the breakdown, it equates to about 1%. If you can't find a way to budget out that 1% at the end of the day.
And he's looking out for the majority of
it's just a terrible thing. But
the
in
average
the locker,
American is not making over $400,000.
No. See, but that's
so
the thing.
So he's looking out for the American people.
T.O., check it out. They everybody got scared and cried wolf about. They were crying about
the 62.
Everything over four. Everybody
exactly.
Over 400,000.
Right.
But think about it. The population the 1% of the population makes above 400,000.
Don't make that.
Everything else is the 99%.
Exactly.
So it's way more people on the bottom than it is on the top.
Exactly.
So, but you guys made millions of dollars, though. You guys made millions of dollars. So it sounds like you're saying you got friends that voted for Trump.
But look at the two. Look at the
and
two rappers.
You're cool with them.
But look at
them. I'm okay.
The
it doesn't
rappers.
Change our dynamic. So what, you know what I'm saying? I understand why.
Did you go to that magnitude? Till you really went to that magnitude of having friends of yours that might have voted for Trump? Would you really disown them as friends?
No,
or
I'm
look
not
at
gonna
them
disown
funny?
Them. I now.
Just
I,
look
I'm
at them funny.
You gotta understand
I'm
why.
Rethink. I'm gonna rethink.
You gotta
reevaluate
why.
Really kind of who they are.
I mean, you got to sit down and talk to people, and you can't just say you know what because our differences politically are different based on who I like as a presidential candidate and who I want to represent me. You can't say, you know what?
You don't think it's different though because of what Trump didn't say, what he said.
Exactly. It was just the person, the character of the person
right.
that they're
the
supporting.
The individual, yeah, right.
That's what gets me because now all the rhetoric, the racial divide that he has caused this country, if you got to have some moral compass about yourself to understand that what he's saying is not right. And if you're not coming out and saying and openly saying being an ally to people of color, then why are you voting for a guy like that? That's my thing.
Correct. I think some people pick money over morals and over humanity.
100%. Yeah.
That's what it is. I think a black man that votes for Trump has picked money over morals, humanity, women's rights, minority rights, and all that. You want your taxes to stay low, and you want the market to do well.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Well, some of the black people, it's not like they making a lot of money. They just feel like Trump has basically given them something, or they feel like they owe that to him because he's given them opportunity. This is supposed to be the land of equality. It should be, we should have that already. So basically, it's like, okay, he's giving us a bone. So now we're going to support you. He's not giving us anything that we shouldn't have already had anyway.
But there'll be a lot of people that look at all of our, all of our thoughts and the things we just mentioned. They'll say these guys are all liberals. They, you know, they're soft, they're weak, or whatever. Their mindset suggests all of liberal equalism or whatever. I think when it boils down to it, nothing was ever given to us. You know what I'm saying? That's why we don't mind giving back into the system. We bust our ass, and unfortunately, through the systemic dialogue or the systemic how the system had been designed against our people, they say our people are lazy. We weren't fortunate enough. They didn't allow us to be educated. We weren't able to read, write. We got punished for it. So they purposely kept us down. So when you look at how things, not the way I think, when you look at how things are now, people that are less fortunate, maybe less educated, that doesn't mean they're lazy.
It's a product of the system.
Right.
That's
it's
what
part
you're
of
saying.
The system. That just means they're not afforded that opportunity.
They
want to be over there to be able to get that job.
Right. If you're not
teach them a trade, put them in
knowledge.
That position, they're going to bust their ass.
But
to
the
keep
issue,
that job.
But you're saying something interesting right now because the issue is people having this discussion right now wasn't here, 300 years ago. So they don't understand.
But a
they
lot
don't
of
understand.
People, and a lot
we
of
weren't
people.
Was it,
somebody asked me a question. Do I PTSD around slavery? Like that's
we
a
talked
thing.
About that. I talked about.
What
that.
Did you say?
I just talked about the whole thing of just the makeup of it all. When those people that were tortured, it's easily now today they can go, turn around and look at genetics and say, well, this person, he. He suffers from PTSD because of this. But our people that went through torture and slavery, that had kids and all that, we're not allowed to suffer. We're just a product of our environment because of where we are. But you got to understand through redlining. And this past election, it really hit me. When I looked at redlining by county,
Can you explain what redlining is? Because a lot, maybe there's some.
Well, basically, when you look at the demographics of cities, towns, different counties, basically they drew a red line and segregated where
literally
where blacks pretty much they pushed them in a corner, and these are also food deserts where welfare would be, and they said we'll give you this in this little pocket. But over here, you don't belong, for the most part. And when you look at all of that, the makeup of it all, when you look at the map, the voting map, and a big portion of it was red, right? And then you have a portion of it that was blue. There's more red on the map than it is blue. A lot of that is due to the rural populations and more areas that are more populous, which are the coasts, right? The outsides are more the city areas, urban areas. Those areas, it was strategically placed where blacks were afforded less resources, right? Schooling, the education system, all that different stuff. So it took 400 years for us to get to this point, but they're still trying their best to push us further down. You know, but on the flip side, they turn around and they tell you, no, it's total opposite.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because there's a lot of systems in place right now. You can go from redlining, all right, and basically there's, you know, long story short, like you said, they drew a red line around certain areas, and they said basically, you know, there wasn't any type of funding going there, no. Right? Taxes, we pay taxes, everybody pay taxes, and places over here is going to get more funding than these places over there. And that was typically the places where we came from. All right. Then you can also dive into the whole criminal justice system. You can dive into the projects. There's a lot of systems out there and institutions that back in the day people used to hold certain groups down, and those groups happen to be, you know, the minorities. And I think that's the challenge, is there's so much out there. Like, I can't sit up here comfortably and confidently talk about all these things. But the reality is, there's some people that don't understand that those things exist, that there was people strategically having these conversations. How do we manipulate the system? How do we build things to control and maintain power?
There was slavery, then there was Jim Crow. Slavery is when you got to work for me. Jim Crow is that you're not equal to a human. Then there's the new Jim Crow. Jim Crow ended in 1963. That's not that long ago. We talked about that earlier. You know,
my dad was born.
Yeah, bro, it's the new Jim Crow of the redlining and all that stuff. And that's what we want to break down. And we talk about it where a bunch of dudes that got millions of dollars sitting around talking about this, but it's not about us. It's about our people.
Right, yeah.
And that's what, like I was saying, T, that was you was trying to hit on. It's exactly. About our people.
Yep.
When
it's
we want to say
just
it.
Us. Yeah.
And to get back to the locker room thing, I want to tell a quick story where when Obama, Jay Feely's a proud Republican. Jay Feely the kicker. Proud Republican. Everybody knows he plays golf with Trump and all that stuff. Me and Jay Feely didn't vibe in the locker room because I knew that. And I just knew, like, and this was 07 now, but I just knew that that's where he was.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, HERO.CO.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry. Deals this great won't last.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Was as soon as Obama ran for president, I had an old ass Ford F-150 Silver. I still got it. My sister-in-law drives it. It was a lease too. It was off lease only. Off lease only when you get the second buy on it, yeah. And you get about $12,000, $15,000 off. Young men, off lease only. Never buy a new car. So I have my off lease only F-150, and I got a gigantic Obama sticker on the back of my truck, and I drove it to work every day. And I knew that people looked at me funny because I had this gigantic, and it just said Obama in bright blue letters across the back of my truck. And I drove it before his presidency, during the race, after his presidency. It was on there until it peeled off. And I knew guys looked at me differently. And I knew those relationships in the locker room were funny, and me and Jay Philly never got tight because of the fact that he knew where I sat, and I knew where
y'all
he sat.
Y'all had different views.
And we had different views, mm-hmm. And I respected him as a ball player, but I couldn't respect you as a dude. I can't go drink a beer with you when
right.
I know.
And that's what I was meaning, too. Like, I just can't get down with you now. Because I already know. I really know how you feel.
So I got another question. I'm glad y'all said that. So if it's, let's say it's not politics. Let's say it's not a presidential candidate. What if it's something else that you and a friend don't agree on? What if I don't agree with the woman you dating or something to that nature? Would it still be a rift of the same nature if it's not the same? You know what I mean?
But you questioning where I'm putting my peterwee is different.
Okay, I'm just using that as an example. But is there anything... Okay. Is there anything else in
what
life
you call
that
it,
we
bro?
Peter Wee. Yeah.
Is there anything else in life that we value as much as the presidential candidate that people support
that will affect the relationship? That's a good question. But Chad, I think it's not about Republican, Democrat, being Democrat. It's about President Trump and the divisiveness.
And what good he stood, versus
and what he stood
evil.
For. I think that's what it's about. You know what I mean? Like, because at the end of the day, we should.
Good versus
like, to
evil.
Answer your question, like, right. We shouldn't. Like, we should be able to sit
really
down
really
here and
to,
we should
man.
Be able to have a discussion, a healthy debate, not agree, but respect each other's viewpoints. That's what we should do in all relationships. But I think the issue is when it comes down to, when I walk outside, can I lose my life? That's when it gets really interesting. And I think that's the moment we're in. And it's just it was the perfect storm. That's what it was, right? We couldn't do anything. There's no sports on television. George Floyd loses. Like, you go back to Ahmaud Arbery. All these things are happening. There's no outlet. There's nowhere to escape. Everybody's watching this. And then we have our leader, and he's not standing up and leading all. And I think that's why this moment, when we talk about politics and it gets uncomfortable with friends, is because of that, right? Like, if our leader stood up and march with the people and actually say, you know what? No, let's stop this. What would happen? Let's think about it.
It would definitely take us down a road less traveled.
But think about this, though. We're in the NFL. We're talking about leadership real quick, Fred. We're talking about leadership. We see it every single day. When a team is broken, when we're divided, what does a coach do? A coach come in, he says, look, we're going to get this thing together, right? We won.
Hey,
we
rally the troops.
And we haven't seen that. We just haven't seen that.
Right. Like I said, it's good versus evil. And that's the thing. Is like when you talk about character and just morals and just people having compassion and empathy, bro, to watch George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, bro, and you have a president in a debate who tells stand down, stand by, and not denounce white supremacy, but you're still voting for this guy, you rooting for this guy, bro, I can't get down like that, bro. Because I think about us as a black community and what we are trying to accomplish and what we've been through so many years. And now, like I said, we finally get to a point. It took 8 minutes and 46 seconds to really stir this country up. And as you said, you had a person in power of Donald Trump that could have basically helped the situation. Not only with that, with the racial inequality and the racial injustice, the police brutality, but even with COVID-19. him knowing what was at stake. And he's caused so many lives. I can't.
So is there hope moving forward?
Well, yeah, yes. There's hope. Yes.
That's what I just asked you. Is there hope moving forward based on the things that Biden has promised, even though still,
now
because of the system, even he got somebody to answer to?
Who? Who does he have to answer to?
What?
I mean, that's why Kamala Harris is the VP.
I think
we have a lot to learn about politics.
Even they have somebody to answer to.
Here's what I would say. I think we got to do, all people, we got to do a better job of learning, myself included. Like, we did a great job going out, everybody going out and voting, letting their voice be heard. But I think it doesn't stop here. Like, we got to continue to learn. We got to continue to be involved. Because, for me, how I feel coming into this thing is, like, I don't know if my voice matters. You know, and I feel like politics, right? Like, when we say politics, it's like, oh, that's it.
That's an uncomfortable roller coaster.
The reason your
voice
matters.
It's an uncomfortable roller coaster.
Because whether you know a lot. Or a little, the bare minimum.
Yeah,
there's someone out there because of who you are that will be glad and willing to teach you help your shortcomings. So you speak from the heart, and then everything else, you know, it'll balance itself out. You know, and I just think that in this age of information, you know, you just speak on it, you know, and people will come to the rescue, or somebody will pull you to the side. Hey, say B.
Yeah, but that's my thing. It's like
you were wrong.
I've never seen Biden. How many years he's been in
47 years in politics.
He's been serving. He's been serving our community, America. You know, President Trump, George Bush, Obama. I never seen them in my neighborhood. My people, my neighborhood looks worse today than it was. You know, back when, 20 years ago, 30 years ago,
we never
my
really,
people, it was getting worse.
We never so saw for any
me,
of them.
But that's my point is, like, you know, I want to see real change. And, you know, a lot of the places we come from aren't getting better. So when we talk about, you know, is it going to get better? Like, I think for me, from a division, divisive standpoint, yes. But when we talk about real change, I want to see real change. And to do that, I think we need to educate ourselves. We need to continue to be in a discussion.
Well, that's
right?
Everybody.
But we can't just show up just for the presidential election. We got to be involved throughout the entire process.
Right,
we
but gotta, I think this is a start. I think this is where I think everybody, the ball has started to roll.
That's right.
The president is chosen by the Electoral College, first and foremost. And then from there, the Senate and the House, they determine legislation. So we have to understand that portion of it when we're talking about budgets, you know, what the funds are going to be allocated for. A lot of policies have been on the docket for 5, 6, 7 years, and they're reintroducing it and trying to get it voted in. Some might help, some might not.
And that's my point. And that's what I'm doing, using my ignorance, right? Because there's a lot of people walking around talking about politics that's not informed and not educated. So this is a great start. What you're saying
from here too.
What I'm saying is maybe I shouldn't, you know, project. But I'm looking at my family and my neighborhood. Like we're not informed. We need to understand how to participate. We need to understand how powerful our voice is. And it's not just the presidential election because we're in the middle of a global pandemic and you know there's a lot of racial tension. You know, the power is at the local ballot box.
And that's why sports is the common denominator in a locker room. You could talk to that regardless of your differences. Why? You know, what can we do? What can you do to help my community? What can I do to help your community? One community will need a little bit more fixing than the other, but we can talk about it. We're fucking teammates at the end of the day. Regardless if you say, oh, man, you voted for that man because he, you know, he talked that stupid shit. He divisive, he this, he that. Yeah, we all know that. But you still had 71 plus million people that followed and voted for him. But that shouldn't change your immediate relationship with the guy sitting across the locker from you. If you feel in a certain way, go holler at him. You know, y'all figure it out. Hey, man, this is what's going on and this is why. Yeah. I felt like a lot of people that claim to be Republican, When their people came to this country and they took all this land, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 acres, you know, broke it down into parcels, sold it off. That's all handouts at the end of the day. Now they're recipients of, you know, generational wealth, and they can talk that shit as if the black people or just lazy and can't do anything. Well, you had a head start. We didn't. We're scrapping from the bottom trying to get to where you are. So you got to close your fucking mouth until, you know, and try and help and teach us this is how you get here. Matter of fact, that's our job, because we're in a situation where we got this platform. We don't always know what the fuck we're talking about, but we're having fun trying to figure it out, right? We're entertained through our ignorance. We're going to figure it out. Even in the reviews, somebody going to come and say, hey, I think y'all was probably wrong on that. We take it, we review it, go study it, and we acknowledge it. But we're getting smarter and we're learning, and then we can share with our people. You know what I'm saying? So it takes, the old saying is cliche, it takes a community. But we can do it. Right? I think we can. So I don't think we dismiss the dudes in the locker room. I think we try to find a way to work together.
So here's my whole thing with President Trump. And a lot of people, stay with me here. Okay, because a lot of people miss, like, when they're like, well, hold on, you like President Trump? I go back to when he started running. Remember, you looked at me funny when I was saying this a couple shows ago. I thought President Trump was going to go down as the best president ever because, to me, I want to see change. And I think it takes a non-politician to provoke change.
Shit, that's what we just
and
had
I
in
felt
office.
Like he had everything he needed to go down as one of the best ever because he was going to go in there and do the job. But then when he started being divisive and started talking about building a wall, he started, you know, singling out different groups. That's when he went wrong. Now, a lot of people would say, well, he played into his base.
He just showed his true colors.
Okay, yeah, so all right, for whatever reasons, here's my thing with that is like, so people talk this whole discussion. When you're the president, when you're the leader of the free world, it comes down to leadership. In leadership, you lead all. And it comes down to also, you got to be a man of integrity. You got to have character, and he hasn't shown to have that. So all these other conversations about politics and where does he stand here, blah, 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 that's not what you want in a leader. So I don't give a damn about all those other things. That's not the person that I want my kid to look up to and say, he is the president of the United States, point blank, period. Now, we can talk about all these other things, but is he a man of integrity? No, he's not. Now, do you have to be perfect? You don't have to be perfect.
No,
we all been through things.
We
all been through things. Hell, I want somebody in there that's not perfect because they understand. They can relate to other people. But when you stand up there and you're the leader of a country, you know, you need to stand up there and you got to say, you know, I'm here for everybody. And he didn't do that. So that's my thing.
There are people saying that Joe Biden's the president. There's the president-elect Joe Biden and all that. What happens if Trump don't leave this White House? Because he's already, he got his attorneys everywhere. The right. Civil War thing, Fred, you brought the Civil
he's,
War
he's
thing.
Entitled, he's entitled to a recount. He's entitled to that. And that's what the, they're in the process of doing.
Depending on the margin.
Right, exactly.
Depending
right.
on the margin.
Exactly.
Of
so here's my what people. Thing is, he's going to have to run the table of those four deciding states to win.
So here's what people
why are we doing hypotheticals and
no, no, it's not. Here's what people believe.
It's not gonna happen.
It's manifesting though. Chad, it's manifesting.
These guys listen, okay?
What you got, Chad? What did he say?
This is him.
I'm talking about for the sake of the discussion,
right, yeah.
There's some people that believe from when we talk about voter fraud that the Democrats went in there and had more people, like they manipulated the vote. They
basically said there's a software that
yeah, like even people who's like, oh, Joe Frazier put in a vote. That's what they're saying. So that's why people believe next week when they go through this, they strip out all that the fake votes and they do the recount that President Trump is going
not going
to
happen.
So we're in an information age where you got to research and decipher the bullshit yourself. A lot of the times, and you got to figure it out. You got to try to make a sound decision and figure it out.
Done.
All right. Enough of politics. Let's talk about something that's really important right now. Prostate cancer. Al Roker just diagnosed with prostate cancer. You also have Chadwick Boseman. We lost Chadwick, and we talked about Chad a couple months ago. You know, I just want to see how informed we are. It's an opportunity for us to have this conversation, but also educate people who are listening, our men who are listening, because this is a real thing.
thoughts on what, getting tested, being knowledgeable about it?
Correct. So I will say this. You know, they say that we're supposed to get tested. They used to say we should get tested at 50. Now they moved it to 40. I'm 36. And, you know, there were some issues my last 2 years in the league. And I used to talk to my guy. Well, I was like, this is kind of
too much information.
Yeah, it feels like it's too much information.
It's okay.
But you're informing, not listen. Just look at it. It's okay. You're informing the audience.
Okay.
We family.
I had blood in my stool for a year and a half.
Okay.
And you know, I remember calling my trainer, and I was like, bro, like, because he's a guy that's into, you know, just different type of medicine and, you know, just some interesting things. And I was like, bro, you know, this is what I'm experiencing. He's like, man, you need to go to the doctor. And I put it off for a year, pretty much. I get to the doctor. We're talking through it. It's like, hey, we have to do an exam. You have to go through a test. And then I start learning. She's like, look, it used to be 50, but now they moved it to 40. It hits the African-American male hard. So I actually got a test. I mean, I went through the evaluation, went through it, and they put me to sleep. So no, they didn't put...
So you didn't tense up?
You didn't get no finger in the booty?
No, I didn't do all that. But I say that because, like, we got to... We don't talk about these... Exactly, right? Yeah, look how we talk about
you it. Might not have, you went to sleep. Joke, you might not have known, but you got your finger in the booty. You were asleep. You might have known, but yeah, you got it.
All right, so have you guys got tested? Because you almost...
I have.
You got tested.
Yeah, I have.
You have got tested. And why and when?
I mean, just for the simple fact of, you know, obviously when you get educated and become knowledgeable, yeah, you don't... And then you've noticed, like I said, it went from 50 to 40, and you noticed people dying and of prostate cancer.
And Chadwick was diagnosed. He was living with it for what, 5 years?
I think 4 years.
Yeah. So that's good. Ocho?
38.
You're 38.
I did got it tested at 38.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Like, I mean, because I didn't know. I was 30. I didn't know, bro.
I mean, that was because of grandma. Grandma's advice to do it because my father passed of prostate cancer.
Right.
In 2010.
Right.
And he refused to get treatment.
Right.
Refused, man. He ain't doing
and
that
you want
to,
like I said, if just in case, just say you do have, at least you want to get a head start.
Right.
On it.
Yeah, it's a better chance of survival.
Right, if you get a
catch it early on.
Right, early detection.
You know, within that 5-year window, I went through it, you know, and for years, you know, through this whole manly thing, right?
Macho, yeah.
You know, talking about even going back to a vasectomy and all that other stuff.
Mm.
You know, you look and say, man, I ain't let nobody mess with my manhood. You know what I'm saying? I ain't let nobody poke me to do no prostate test, but you got it. I mean, you want to.
Laughing you, because that's our mentality.
But no, that's just locker room talk. That's just how it is.
And this can be good for to see the names that we got sitting around talk about it like this, because the hell with the finger, I got the whole camera.
No, I got the camera. So we did.
You got the camera.
So you got it.
You got the whole camera.
What made you? But you're not 40. Why'd you do it now?
No, because it's the same thing. I was having digestive problems, and they had a list of stuff that could be wrong.
Wait,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, so it could be hemorrhoids. It could be this stomach. It could be ulcers. It could be this. But, it could be prostate cancer. I said, so what happened to cancer?
Yeah.
And I let them. Oh. I was laying on my side,
right
on the bed,
you was woke? Like that.
And they gave me the look. I know because.
Right. You was up? Hey, I mean, you stayed up?
I don't be up, but I be up because...
Why he balled up like this?
That's how the hell you sit, fellas, right. Just like this. Like,
and the feet are really comfortable like
this. Bro, you be like this.
Like that?
So how'd you know?
What kind of camera? Sony? Or Canon?
I looked. Sony? It was a little tube with
GoPro?
A little glass on it.
What kind?
I said, Doc, be
gentle.
GoPro?
They put a GoPro in his ass.
No, but look, all right. So
but real talk. No, bro, the funny that we're laughing about this, bro, this is going to help somebody. Real
right,
talk.
Right.
But the fact that it was medical problem, and my stuff ended up being prostate cancer. I don't know, you know.
Nothing.
Everybody was good, you know what I'm saying?
Here.
But we all got the test.
You said it did or it didn't?
It didn't. Like, good. It was nothing. It was me. I think I pushed too hard. They said it was hemorrhoids. I'd be trying to get it out of there. I don't like sitting on the toilet too
long. Stop eating all that cheese, man. You got to watch your diet,
dense.
Bro.
I have a dense gut.
All right, but look. All right, so look.
But all of us got tested. I wasn't 40 yet. You said T.O. 77. So you got it.
and slow.
But no, bro, real talk, dudes out there, man, it's not the manhood thing. It's not that tough crap.
So all of us got ladies. You say you married, but you close to being married. Ocho, T.O.,
I'm still trying to find yourself.
Just like my post said
a few weeks ago. I'm just like Kraft Cheese.
Let me ask.
I'm single.
Are you single?
Yeah.
Come on, it's time. Yeah. He on the market. Right. So let me ask y'all this question, y'all ladies. Hold on, let me ask y'all this question.
Yeah, it is.
Do you guys, when you laying with your ladies, you spooning with your ladies, and you feeling her breast? Do y'all know what y'all ladies' breasts feel like?
Yes.
Do we know?
Yeah, because what I'm saying is.
We just talked about the male
mammogram and understanding cancer. The lumps and
yes. Do you understand where like that's a thing, right? We got women listening to us. We also got men, and I think it's also important for the man to also understand their woman's body and be a part of that process as well. Like our women, obviously, you know, they understand what they should do
or
in
where
their
they
check.
Should feel.
But I also think that's on us. So have y'all ever did that?
So you look for that?
Yeah. Like when I'm laying with Mishi and I'm laying there, I'll feel on her breasts when we're cuddling.
But she would know before you though.
Yeah, but I'm saying we should be a part of that process, right? Like we know. Yeah, of course. She should, but that's my point.
Well, she would know before you in general. I'm just
correct.
Saying, right.
But why aren't we a part of that process with our women? You know, you lay with your women every day. You know what your women's breasts feel like.
I just think a woman is more in tune with her own body.
And if you're in tune.
These are the things that you know, through her visits to the doctor, you know, certain windows, age.
Those are typical things
hereditary
that they look
things.
For anyway.
100%.
We're more in tune with our women's body when it comes to being romantic, and I think in the sense that you're speaking, I think she's more in tune with it better than we are, and knowing where to actually look and knowing when her body is abnormal than usual.
Correct.
Right.
100%. But what I'm saying is, I'm pushing the conversation forward, and also saying, why aren't we in tune with our women's body when it comes to that?
Because a lot of guys ain't even in tune with their own nuts. You got to feel for your own.
Well, Fred, right. You opened it up. I'm gonna say. Me and my wife, we nasty, nasty. We play games. I act like I'm a cat on
y'all
the porch.
Y'all role play?
Hold on, y'all role play? Yeah, we play games. I play.
Like what?
I play stray cat on the porch. I go on the porch and be a stray cat and she
roll,
open it up.
He's straight, and we come in.
I got a brown Dickie suit, so I'm a UPS man. I walk up to the door with a UPS box and I be like, hey, here goes your package. And she'll say, thank you. I'll be like, you want another package? Well, we get after
no,
it.
No,
so.
Bro. Yeah,
give me one more. Give me some more ideas.
We got to get after it, Chad.
Give me another one.
We go in the backyard, and I be the burglar.
Hey, so he going to be one of those guys. Hey.
And I catch outside.
Right.
And I'd be like, she'd be like, what you doing? My husband's inside. I'd be like, well, we don't got to go inside. Right there on the little patio table.
Yeah, hold up.
Yeah, man.
I want to run it back.
Hey, he going to be one of those guys when he about 70, 80, and then y'all have some kids. Like, man, how do you stay together? How do y'all stay together so long?
That's right.
All these
I got a 4 month old and I'm scared right now. My wife might be pregnant.
Chan, but
I don't know.
You got a 4 month old?
I got a 4 month old and I had a vasectomy, but I be.
Oh man, I got it. Right.
That's it.
Man, oh man, y'all
team, you got it.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Listen, this is the best part of the show.
I am an athlete.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we can wheel straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.